Welcome to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660, your place for biblically informed conversation on issues that matter. Calling for Truth is an outreach ministry of Providence Baptist Church located at 2020 Gibshoals Road in Greer and Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. To find out more about our ministry and how you can make a tax-deductible donation, call 864-420-2688 or visit us online at callingfortruth.org. If you have a question or a comment on today's topic, call 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Now, here are the hosts of Calling for Truth, Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this Friday edition, Friday, February 29th edition of Calling for Truth. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and Dr. Paul Dean is out of the studio today. However, I have a number of guests that will be joining us on the program today, and I'll go through that list here in just a minute. Let me tell you what has or is transpiring that is bringing all of these guests together. That's going to be a Cademan's Call concert, a benefit concert for Carolina Hope Christian Adoption Agency. And even more specifically, their Ethiopian project that is going to take place tonight at Southside Fellowship right here in Greenville, South Carolina. The concert is scheduled for 7 o'clock tonight, and if you go out onto our website, which is www.callingfortruth.org, or you can go out to the website for CarolinaHopeAdoption.org, and you can find out all the information about how to obtain a ticket for tonight's concert. You can buy the tickets at the door. There's still some room available, so if you want to attend that concert, here's your opportunity to do so. Again, the websites for that are www.callingfortruth.org, or you can go out to www.carolinahopeadoption.org. That's all one word, carolinahopeadoption.org. The in-studio guests that we have here today, two of them are with us already, two are on their way, and let me introduce the two that are with us here today, or so far today, and then we'll move on from there. First of all is a fellow that's become a good friend over the last year or so. I had him preach over at our church at Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, and have just really appreciated his ministry and specifically what he is doing as the ministry outreach coordinator for Carolina Hope Christian Adoption Agency, and that's Dan Kruver. Dan's been on before with us talking about adoption, and Dan, you're the impetus, you know, the driving force behind this concert, you and the folks over there at Carolina Hope. So thank you very much for putting together this concert and raising this issue of adoption, and thanks for being on the broadcast with us today.
Very glad to be here, so thank you very much.
And Dan has brought a guest with him today. I think he wins the prize for bringing the guest from the furthest distance away, and that's because he's brought a friend by the name of Wesson with him. And Wesson is the Ethiopian adoption facilitator, and he's working closely with Carolina Hope Christian Adoption Agency. And Wesson, it's a pleasure to have you here all the way from Ethiopia.
Thank you. It's a pleasure for me to be here, too.
Great. Dan, I wanted to start with you. Well, let me tell the folks that we've got a couple guests coming. We have a couple of the members of the group. Cademan's Call will be joining us here shortly. Derek Webb, who, of course, is a singer-songwriter, has recently rejoined Cademan's Call, and he'll be joining us here shortly. He has his own website as well, derekwebb.com. And then Cliff Young, who's the founding member and vocalist for Cademan's Call, he'll be joining us as well, and you can get information about him out on Cademan's Call website, and that's simply cademancall.com. Dan, I wanted to ask you, first of all, try to, in the few minutes that we have here today, I've known you now for a little over a year, I think, and this passion that you have for adoption really comes through. You're the type of guy that you spend a little bit of time with, and pretty soon I feel guilty about the things I have in this life. I start wanting to build an addition on the house and start thinking about adoption. Your passion for this issue really comes through, and you've done something here with this issue that I think is tremendously important. you have attached it to the idea of the doctrine of, or the theology of adoption that all Christians share, that God has graciously adopted us into his family and thus bestowed upon us all the benefits and blessings of the children of God. And you've tied these two issues together. Tell me about your passion for this, and tell me a little bit, or explain to our listeners a little bit about that idea of tying these two issues together.
Well, it's interesting. Usually the verse that people use the most when considering orphan care and adoption, orphan care in particular, is James 1:27, where James says that religion is true and undefiled before God,
yes,
the Father, which I think is huge,
mm-hmm,
that this is true religion before God, the Father. He could have just said God.
That's right.
But he says God, the Father, is visiting orphans in their affliction.
Mm.
And so a lot of my thinking has been, why did he say God, the Father? And then what is really behind this requirement, this, you know, essential mark of Christianity, of caring for orphans in their affliction.
Mm.
And it's interesting when you consider the term adoption itself. It's only used five times in the New Testament, all by the Apostle Paul.
Mm.
And if you look at the five occurrences of the term, you can very quickly map out all of redemptive history.
Mm.
So that you have Paul saying in Ephesians 1, 4, and 5, that God the Father predestined us to adoption as sons.
Mm-hmm.
So before time even began, before God even created everything that now is, God predestined us. He established the boundaries of our habitation, which was to participate in the love that he enjoyed with his son for all of eternity past, and then to ultimately enjoy that love on a renewed earth. So that's how, you know, the first term takes us all the way to pre-creation, and then you have Paul saying that God, one of the privileges, main privileges that he gave to Israel was they received the adoption. And that was at that moment in time in the Old Testament where God was going to really begin moving his redemptive work forward. And then, of course, you have Galatians 4,
mm-hmm,
where Paul says that God sent his son. He became incarnate to redeem us. And then he gives us the ultimate objective of that redemption, which is to provide us with adoption as sons.
Mm.
So at the very climax of redemptive history, what Jesus came to accomplish, according to Paul in Galatians 4, is to give us adoption.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have him talking about it in Romans chapter 8 twice, where he says that that it is by the Spirit that we cry, the Spirit of adoption, that we cry, Abba, Father. And then later on in Romans 8, in verse 23, he says that believers, we eagerly wait for our adoption, the redemption of our bodies, which is our glorification,
mm-hmm,
which takes us all the way to the consummation of the age. So
yeah,
adoption is the great work of God within all of human history, because it precedes human history and it brings human history all the way to its climax. So I think that's ultimately what's behind James 1:27,
mm-hmm,
when he says, you want to know what true Christianity is? Before God the Father, it's visiting orphans in their affliction, because God is a God who cares amazingly with adopting, bringing people into the fellowship of the Trinity.
Well, that's well put, and you can see the picture there all the way, like you say, from eternity past, if I could use that term, all the way through redemptive history and even unto our glorification. Adoption is pictured all the way through there. I think adoption doesn't really get much playtime in Christian circles. I think if we were to ask an average Christian, you know, what does adoption mean? I would tend to think that they would probably confuse the definition in their definition of it with conversion, or they may maybe even justification. They would confuse it with that. But these are separate things. We're not talking about those acts. We're talking about a separate gracious act of God that takes into consideration those two things, that certainly involves conversion and justification, but it is something that is mentioned separately in the scriptures that let me read a definition I have here. An act of God's free grace whereby believers are received into the number of and have the right to all the privileges of the sons of God. And so we're brought into that family relationship with the Almighty, with God the Father, which is just mind-boggling to think about. Now, when we think about this type of adoption, you know, there was nothing lovely in us. You know, there was no lack in God,
right,
that he did this adoption. It was purely a gracious act. You then take that concept about us meditating on what God has done for us and then say, shouldn't we mirror some of that in our life? Shouldn't we be concerned about, you know, orphans around the world? Shouldn't this be something that is evident in our life? If our father is like this, shouldn't his children be caring about orphans in this way? Is that correct?
Absolutely. One of the questions when I go into churches to speak on it that I begin, you know, my sermon with is to say, when you hear the term adoption, do your thoughts first move horizontally or do they move vertically? In other words, are you thinking, first of all, of earthly adoption or the adoption that we have received in Christ? And so, you know, ultimately what I want Christians to do is to think vertically, God has adopted us. Mm-hmm. So I think as the more we realize our adoption, what God has given us in Christ, I think Calvin said this, that the Son of God became Son of Man, that the sons of men may become sons of God. And the more we grow in our understanding of our own adoption, then it's going to be natural and inevitable that we're going to look at the many 143 million orphans in this world. We're going to look at their plight much more differently, and we're going to be moved to orphan care and adoption, whether adopting ourselves or helping others adopt and moving that forward in our churches. So that's why I think, the doctrine of adoption has been largely neglected for various reasons, but I really see a renewed interest in it that I think is going to reap great dividends for our understanding of who God is and our growing in knowing Him and enjoying Him, and then kind of a fallout of that, the momentum that will come out of that is increased desire to care for orphans and their affliction.
Amen. Well, you mentioned the plight of orphans, and I want to ask Wesson about that. We've got to take a very quick commercial break, but after the break, when we come back, we're going to get Wesson in on the conversation to tell us, what's it like there? What's the plight there with the children, the orphans that are there in Ethiopia? I think you're absolutely right, Dan. You know, the doctrine of adoption should fuel our passion and compassion for those that are not as fortunate as we are. We'll be right back in just a minute. Talk about this some more.
Thanks for tuning in to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. For more information about our ministry and the resources we offer, log on to callingfortruth.org.
In Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Join Christian Talk 660 and 7:21 Ministry, Sam Hunter, for a half-hour discussion each Friday afternoon at 12:30, centered around practical applications of God's Word. The question Matthew 7:21 forces you to ask yourself is this: do you know Him? 7:21 Live, Fridays at 12:30 on Christian Talk 660.
In 1994, Southern Stone began as the first manufactured stone installer in the upstate. A family-owned business, now with two generations involved, their team has over 55 years of experience serving the Carolinas with both natural and manufactured stone, as well as many other related products and services. Allow Southern Stone to assist you in making your dream home a reality. Call toll-free 1-800-288-5587. That's 800-288-5587.
Have you ever wondered why you're in business rather than in ministry? Have you ever felt like the time that you spend at work conflicts with what you really could be doing for the Lord? Does your business even matter to God? And what about missions? How does that fit into the equation? At some point in time, these are questions that every Christian business person asks. Join Calling for Truth in Christian Talk 660 on March 15th as author and international business leader Mike Baer addresses these critical issues of seamless integration of business as a mission. It's a half-day seminar especially for Christian businessmen and women like you. Spend the morning learning how to view business as a high and holy calling, how to discover God's kingdom purpose for your business, and how to connect it to what He's doing right here in the upstate and around the world. If you've ever wondered if your business could make a difference for the glory of God, then this meeting is for you. Mark your calendars for March 15th from 9 a.m. until 12 noon. For more information, call 444-4539 or log on to callingfortruth.org. 444-4539.
Welcome back to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. We appreciate you tuning in today. For more information about our ministry, the Biblical Counseling Center, and the resources we offer, log on to callingfortruth.org.
Hey, welcome back into the Calling for Truth radio program. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I mentioned at the top of the hour that Dr. Paul Dean is out of the studio today. However, we have quite a group here in the studio today. I'm quickly checking on the web here to see if we've set any sort of a Guinness Book of World Record for how many people you can shove into one studio at one time. We're giving a whole new meaning to the idea of close fellowship here this afternoon because there's a number of people sharing mics and sharing headsets and trying to get everybody in on the conversation today. You're going to be able to join that conversation as well. That number will be 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Just ask, we're going to stay in the conversation here for another 15 minutes or so, and then we'll open up the lines if you would like to call and ask some questions of either Dan Kruver or Wesson from Ethiopia or Derek Webb or Cliff Young from Cademan's Call. You'll be able to ask a question of any of these guys that are here in the studio today. Just before the break, Dan was giving us a really good rundown of the doctrine or the theology of adoption. During that articulating what that meant, you used a word, Dan, that talked about the plight of children around the world. I think probably no better source to talk about that plight would be Wesson, who is with us here today, because he's from Ethiopia, and he's working with you folks on an adoption program there, your Ethiopian project through Carolina Hope Christian Adoption Agency. Wesson, give us a little sense of what is the situation like? How many children are we talking about, and what's the status with these children in Ethiopia?
Well, before I'm going to talk about the problem of Ethiopian children, mm-hmm. it's better to give you a hint about Ethiopia.
Okay.
Ethiopia is a country located in the eastern part of Africa. We call that area Horn of Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And this country is not colonized during the Italian occupation or French occupation during that time. So it's the only country which is not colonized. Mm-hmm. And then we have a beautiful country. Unfortunately, we're not lucky to use that the resources that we have. Because of that, we passed through different problems. Hunger is one of the problems that we are facing. These days, HIV is one of the serious problems that we are facing. So, when we come to the children, Ethiopia has a total population of 80 million. Among these 80 million, it's expected that from 4 up to 6 million orphans are there in Ethiopia because of HIV/AIDS. It's a huge number. It's only because of HIV/AIDS. If we include the others, it's estimated about 17 million orphans are in Ethiopia. So these children are orphans because of all the orphans, because of HIV/AIDS, because of the civil war that we passed through and we are passing through right now, and then the disease, different disease, the malaria is one of the problems that we are facing, and the sum of all these problems are leading the children to experience hard life, and right now there are lots of orphanages and adoption agencies working in Ethiopia. The problem is beyond the control of the government of Ethiopia. And the United Nations is interfering on the issue. And the European Economic Commission is interfering on the issue. Churches are interfering in the issue just to find a solution for the problem. But it is increasing in an alarming rate.
So that the problem is just seemingly overwhelming.
Of course.
When you talk about 17 million is what you said, right? Orphans. How then have you been working along with Carolina Hope? How has that relationship been going, and what are you doing there specifically?
Yeah, right now we are working with Carolina Hope's Christian Adoption Agency, supporting different orphanages. There are three orphanages right now we are working with. One of the orphanages is Ferez Orphanage. It's located in Addis Ababa. They have 14 orphans mm-hmm. in their orphanage. The other one is Mercy Orphanage. They have 92 orphans mm-hmm. in a small orphanage in Addis Ababa. And then the other one is located some 270 kilometers far from Addis Ababa, which is the center of the capital, Ethiopia. Mm-hmm. And then that is in Shashamane. It's a New Life Orphanage. They have, by now, they have more than 50 orphans. Mm. And then these are complete orphans. So we are supporting these orphans, providing them food, clothes, and some of them, they don't have shelter. The orphanages are very small, and when Dan and Lisa, when they came to Ethiopia last month, they have seen the problem. Mm. It's very easy to talk. When I say the problem is there, for the listeners, it can be very easy. But when you go there, you sense something which is tangible. So these children, they are in lack of food, clothes, shelter, medical support. And more than that, they need love. Mm. They are seeking to be loved.
Mm.
That is the problem. And to solve these problems, Carolina Hope is supporting us, providing financial support, and then with that, the financial donation that we are getting from this organization, we're providing clothes and paying the house rent and clothes for the children, food, mm-hmm. everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we are doing with the Carolina Hope Adoption Agency, and then we are planning to start also the adoption program.
Mm-hmm.
One of the solutions to be implemented to solve the problem of the Ethiopian children is adoption.
Mm. So you are looking for folks here in the United States through Carolina Hope Christian Adoption to be interested in adopting these children, but also to adopt some of the orphanages that are over there so that they could funnel funds or equipment or clothes, you know, all the things, the resources that you need in order to run these orphanages over in that area. Is that correct?
Of course. In addition to that, we need also professionals to come there. For example, Carolina Hope Adoption Agency, just supporting the orphanage, the three orphanages there, and we have a plan also to establish our own care center.
Mm-hmm.
For that, we need to process a plot of land, to get a plot of land from the government. Mm-hmm. And then when we get the plot of land, we need to construct our own orphanage or care center.
Mm-hmm.
For that, we need professionals, volunteers to come there and to contribute their part.
Right.
Also, the orphanages are seeking support. And the children who are in the orphanage, they are not attending their education.
Mm-hmm.
We need volunteers to come there to contribute by teaching the orphans
and right.
Sunday school. And we need Christians, ministers to come there to preach the gospel for the orphans.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the need is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And we expect lots of volunteers to come there. And coming, not only coming there, if it's not possible for them to come to Ethiopia, let them pray for us. Then, there is a program also, a sponsorship program.
Mm-hmm.
We're planning to implement that too.
Excellent. Well, let me tell the listeners here how they can find out more about this program. You can go out to CarolinaHopeAdoption.org. That's www.CarolinaHopeAdoption.org. And they have a special Ethiopian project that they're putting together to meet this need that Wesson, you can hear it in his voice, his own passion, his own experience there with what is taking place to meet this need. And this is why the concert is taking place tonight. This is why Cademan's Call has come to the area in order to put on this benefit concert to make a difference, to reach out to this this area that is so much in need. We're going to take a very quick commercial break, but when we come back from the commercial, we're going to go ahead and switch in the conversation to speak with a couple of the guys from Cademan's Call to ask them about why they got involved in this particular project, why they are doing this particular benefit concert. You're able to join the conversation yourself. That number is 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. We'll be back in just a couple minutes talking about adoption today on Calling for Truth. We'll be
Thanks for tuning in to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. For more information about our ministry and the resources we offer, log on to callingfortruth.org.
Hi, I'm Wynn Freeman, the Drug Guy, founder and president of Wisdom Living Life Ministry, a Bible-based, Christ-centered, nonprofit organization seeking to educate, equip, and empower God's people to effectively reach those imprisoned by addiction. Join me each Monday afternoon on Christian Talk 660 from 12:30 until 1 o'clock for Beyond Recovery, a program dedicated to helping people through biblical truth by exhibiting transformed thinking and changed lives. Check out wisdomandlivinglife.org for more information.
Jane, we deal with a lot of issues in counseling.
We do, but the wonderful thing is that God's Word has the answers.
Well, that's right. The Bible does say that in it we've been given everything we need for life and godliness.
And that's why our commitment at the Providence Center for Biblical Counseling is to give God's counsel to God's people, whether you suffer from depression, anxiety, anger, or anything else.
The Providence Center for Biblical Counseling, call us for encouragement and direction from God's Word at 864-420-2688.
God has really blessed our ministry at Strides. Hi, this is Dr. Everett. 30 local children depend on our scholarships to solve learning problems, but funds are low, so we've had to turn some away. Will you sponsor a child? Just $65 can bring a child up one grade level. If God lays it on your heart to help a child, call 246-9898. Our website is www.stridestutor.org. Strides is a nonprofit organization.
When choosing auto insurance coverage, it's important to first consider choosing an auto insurance agency. Hi, I'm Isaac Feynman, and I chose Taylor's Insurance Agency. As independent agents, Taylor's shops from several of the leading insurance companies to find the best coverage that fits your needs. Right now, receive a $5 gift card just for stopping by or calling for a free quote. Get set up with a low-down payment and a great monthly payment plan. Taylor's Insurance Agency, 2854B Wade Hampton Boulevard. Call 609-5550, 609-5550.
You're listening to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. Calling for Truth is an outreach ministry of Providence Baptist Church located at 2020 Gibshoals Road in Greer and Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. To find out more about our ministry, call 864-420-2688 or visit us online at callingfortruth.org. If you have a question or a comment on today's topic, please call 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Now here are the host of Calling for Truth, Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the second half of the Calling for Truth radio program today. The scripture says this. It says this in James chapter 1 and verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Many other scriptures talking about this important subject of adoption, and that's what we're talking about here today. I want to give you the information about the concert again tonight. There's still time for you to go out and register online. You can also pay right at the door. But the concert tonight with Caveman's Call will be held at Southside Fellowship right here in Greenville, South Carolina, at 7 o'clock tonight. And it's a benefit concert for Carolina Hope Christian Adoption Agency, and specifically their Ethiopian project. I need to mention as well that Desiring God will be there tonight at the concert. They'll have a table. The table actually is about Don't Waste Your Life table. And they're going to have a video message that is going to be John Piper speaking to the folks that will be there at the concert. Specifically, he's taped the message that he wants to share something from his heart to all those that attend the concert tonight. So you got that to look forward to as well. Of course, John Piper grew up right probably a mile or so from the station right here. I was telling you guys ahead of time, his dad was actually in our services at our church at Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, and so we had the privilege of getting to know him at the final years of his life. He's gone home since to be with the Lord. Guys, I wanted to switch in the conversation just a little bit if we could. I wanted to switch now to the two of you that are here today representing Caveman's Call. Cliff Young, first of all, and then Derek Webb. Cliff, I wanted to ask you, give us a little bit of background. If anybody who's familiar with Caveman Call music, I'm a fan from the 40 Acres album way back, but anybody who is very much familiar with your music knows that there's a lot of theology built into the music there. In fact, I think they kind of talk about Cademan's Call as being kind of the thinking musicians, the thinking Christian group that's out there thinking about these things. Tell me then, what is the thinking behind or the theology that's involved in your latest project here, which I think is the Overdressed project? Tell me a little bit about that.
We didn't used to think that as much. I think most every musician has some sort of a message. Theology. Mm. They just don't realize it, a lot of them. Well, it comes from, actually, the Overdressed thing comes from a line in one of Derek's songs. And so, really, honestly, Derek really should be the one to address the doctrine. I mean, the doctrine behind it.
Let's talk about blame shifting.
Sure.
No, just kidding.
Yeah. the whole idea of, you know, of the title and kind of the, I guess, general concept of the record was this song Trouble, which is the opening track on the record. And it's basically a lot of words to say something really simple, which is that, the primary issue we deal with in terms of our sin, in terms of our position before God, is that before even the first committing of sins that we do, it's the fabric of, you know, of who we are that is at war against God is mm-hmm. the thing. And that's the reason that what the flesh doesn't reform in this life. That's why we are in a constant state of coming back to Jesus. That's why, you know, altar calls are ridiculous if the entire church doesn't come up, because mm-hmm. who in the room doesn't need to come to Jesus? I mean, yeah. I've been a Christian for 15 years and I have to come back to Jesus almost mm-hmm. daily, because I'm in a constant need of a savior. Mm-hmm. You know, if I always have sin, I always need a savior. And so it's just the idea that we try to cover ourselves with everything, you know, and especially as you learn how to play kind of the subcultural Christian game of hiding your sin better or micromanaging your sin to ultimately not need Jesus anymore, apparently, is the goal of the Christian life. If I can just get so disciplined I don't need Jesus anymore, I guess that would be the best thing. Mm-hmm. That's what you're taught. And so, you know, it's the idea that, you know, ultimately what we need is not to sin less, but to repent more. We need mm-hmm. to see our sin more fully, that we would see Jesus more fully. And, you know, so rather than covering ourselves, we need to realize that if we come with anything but Jesus, we're completely overdressed in his presence. And and so that was, you know, there's a big fig leaf on the cover of the record.
That's the thinking part.
so there was a thinking that went behind it. Now we can talk about everything else.
Well, that's interesting, because I think that one of the neglected doctrines really is the doctrine of imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And you don't hear much about that. You hear about the other side of the cross work of Christ, you know, the passive obedience of Christ, you know, on the cross, his dying. But there's not much said about the active obedience of Christ and why he had to earn a perfect righteousness, that great exchange that takes place, of course, in salvation, that all of our demerit is given to him, and all of his merit that he has with God is given to us. I think most people think, and maybe even some people that name the name of Christ think, if my good outweighs my bad, when I get to heaven, that God will allow me in.
Yep.
And the truth of that is that scale, that imaginary scale that is weighing those two things, is that the good that we think we have is really, especially when we're outside of Christ, is not good at all. Even the plowing of the wicked is sin.
Yeah.
And so all of our deeds are all seen as being unrighteous, and we have nothing at all to offer to him at all.
Yeah.
That's why the Bible talks about filthy rags with Christ and these types of things. So you're saying here, you know, this idea of being overdressed, we go back to that old mold of trying to, you know, earn, you know, God's acceptance, when our acceptance with him is only based upon the merit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Well, and because the temptation is to say, well, yes, like there was that moment of salvation where I was made right, but now I'm kind of in this new economy of, like you said, like now I'm going to do all these things to make God continually, perpetually pleased with me, or I'm going to even improve on God's countenance towards me because of my additional work other than what Jesus has done. And you know, the hard truth of it is, and this is a risky thing to some people to say, because it opens you up to all manner of sliding one way or the other on what needs to be a balanced position. But, you know, that God's countenance, if your faith is in Jesus, in the one who has kept the law on your behalf, as opposed to your faith and your ability to keep the law in any way at any point, if your faith is in one who's kept the law on your behalf, then God's countenance towards you cannot change, not in the depths of your worst sin, and not one day in glory when you are sinning no more. God will love you no differently than he does now, then, or then. I mean, like, literally, there is no change in God. It's God's kindness that brings us to repentance.
Yes.
And because he loves us so completely and thoroughly because of the work of Jesus and our faith in that, then that's the thing that brings us continually back to repentance.
Yeah.
And so we should live in a cycle of temporary despair over sin and repentance, repentance. And we should come, hopefully, as we mature more in the faith, to repenting more quickly, coming back to Jesus more quickly, as opposed to learning how to better hide our sin, learning how to better manage our sin. And all those things are important, yes, but ultimately the goal is to repent, 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 repent.
Right. I think Calvin put it this way, once in Christ forever, nothing from his love can sever.
Yeah.
You know, that it's all based upon the person and work of Christ, and we can't, it's not about us. You know, we want to make it about us. We want
we
it
do.
To be a man's
gospel. We love the law.
We
love using the law for things it was never intended to
That's
be
right.
useful. We love to try to keep the law to make God happy with us, and we don't keep the law, we feel like God is not somehow pleased with us. When, you know, the point of the law is always to bring us back to our sin, to bring us back to Jesus, every time.
Some people would think, hey, that's going to lead to antinomianism, you know,
exactly.
people are going to just live. But it doesn't, because it's a life of gratitude,
that's
right? We're so thankful for what God has done in us and through us that all we can do is think of Romans chapter 12, 1, you know, where we lay our bodies on the altar of sacrifice, in order, he's worthy of all of our dedication, all of our devotion, all of our resource, everything that we can
and
give
I would still
him.
Rather run the risk of having to explain that to somebody than tell them something that's half the truth in order to try to manipulate their behavior. Any day, I mean, I would still rather tell the truth to somebody and risk the misunderstanding and then have to deal with the misunderstanding than to have to deal 20 years later with someone having a completely wrong idea of what it is to be justified at all.
We call that other side depravity management. You know, just trying to keep it in check there.
That's
but
right.
It doesn't work very well.
I will say this is that we've been on a lot of radio stations in a whole lot of interviews. These are questions I don't think we've ever been asked on radio, on Christian radio. What would you say?
Normally, you get, what's it like to be on a tour bus? Right?
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Who's the right bus driver?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry.
I mean, who said this is what keeps reminding me, it's so amazing, and who was it that said, take all of my good works and all of my sin and everything and pile them together and lay them at the foot of the cross and repent of
that's right
of it all.
Yeah,
wasn't it a hymn writer?
I'll tell you who it was. It was a hymn writer, and I can't think of his name right now. But
William Cowper, was it Cooper?
I don't think it was.
Okay.
It wasn't Gadsby.
Okay.
Was it John Stalker? That's exactly what it was. John Stalker.
Okay.
Yeah, he said. You know, they asked him on his deathbed, you know, what's your condition before the Lord? Like, how is your soul? And he said, I've taken all of my good works, I've taken all my bad works, I've put them all in a heap, and I've run from all of them to Jesus, and in him I have peace.
Amen. Laid them all at the foot of
and
Christ.
And if only we could do that, not just on our deathbeds, but also
amen
in the daily, you know, grind.
You know what's interesting, too, when you're talking about how we get here and why we have the depravity management formulas out there, if you wish. But it, so much of it starts in traveling around and starts with how we teach our young people and our youth. We so want to preach moralism to them.
Yeah.
There's this fear. And there's this lack of faith in the Holy Spirit and in the gospel on the whole, and the truth of the gospel. We teach moralism. Moralism say, well, you know, you do that when they're young. And then it gets – but the funny thing about our churches, so many of our churches are so full of those kids. They don't know anything different, and that the gospel is moralism.
That you're talking about is the fear of not being relevant. You know, I think they're so afraid that the gospel is irrelevant, you know, that God is irrelevant, that everything else is crowded in, all of the entertainment. But in the process, the kids are not being taught the scripture. That group, that those two folks that wrote the book Soul Search, and, you know, that survey that they did, said that the kids now have moralistic therapeutic deism is basically what it comes down to that they believe.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then they get to college and they chuck the faith, you know, yeah. They go yeah. on, they are finally confronted, and then they don't have yeah. any answer, you know, apologetic whatsoever, yeah. and they just say, well, this was just my yeah. parents' religion, and, yeah. you know, I'm out of here.
That's what I
Absolutely.
Would say.
Yeah, right.
No,
I mean,
no one.
With like you said, with like therapeutic, moralistic, you know, deism, yeah. I would give that up too.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
absolutely.
You know, and I feel like I have to give it up all the time
That's
in exchange
right.
for the
yeah.
true gospel.
Daily
you,
no, no faith or religion wants their kids to go out and get on drugs and mm-hmm. be pregnant when they're 13 years old and do all these things. It doesn't matter if they're Mormon, Jehovah's Witness, Muslim, whatever.
Right.
No one wants that. That's
sure.
not what separates the gospel from
mm-hmm.
You know, everyone else, but
yeah, exactly. That moralism, like you're saying, rather than actually teaching the gospel, is what's happened. Let's run to the phone lines very quickly. We've got Mark on line one. Mark, welcome into the Calling for Truth radio program today.
Yes, good afternoon. Great topic. The question is, you've mentioned it already, and I just am looking for pointers on how it is that you can help someone to remain under the cloud of righteousness. We take on Christ's righteousness when we're saved, but unfortunately people use salvation as a key to get into heaven, and it stops there. So how do we in our daily practice remain under the cloud of righteousness in our walk?
Well, I'm going to talk. Thank you, Mark, and he's going to take the answer off air, but I'll just start that answer there and then have you guys chime in. But it all comes down to looking to Christ. You know, that there's an interesting picture of this in the Old Testament where the Ark of the Covenant was set a certain distance in front of the children of Israel as they were going through the wilderness. And the reason why it was set at a distance was so that all the people could see the Ark of the Covenant as they were going along. If it was too close to the front, then the people in the back couldn't see it. So it was out in front there so that we could, the picture was to be constantly looking to Christ, as these folks were just articulating here a moment ago, that looking to Christ doesn't begin and end with the sinner's prayer. It is a looking to Christ now for the rest of our lives. All of eternity we'll be looking to Him because of the tremendous work that He has done on our account. You guys want to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. I mean, I feel like if we are as, you know, who was it, Martin Luther, who said, for every one glance you take at your sin, you take 10 glances at the cross.
Mm, amen.
I mean, if we're truly doing that, if we're truly engaging with our sin, mm-hmm. and we're looking for it to show up in order that we can see it and we can go to Jesus and say, how have you kept this law on my behalf, and let me rejoice in that mm-hmm. and rest in that. If we're doing that as a constant process and cycle, you're just not going to find yourself wanting to use that as a license to sin more.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think a heart that's truly been
right.
changed and is truly pursuing
right.
God's kingdom first.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not ever been my experience. Now, have I experienced in my life using my position before the Lord as a, oh, well, that means I can get away with this, so I'm going to fall into this. Of course
sure.
that's happened. Of course that has. But in habitual, like, intentional meditation on the righteousness of Jesus and what it means
mm-hmm.
from my particular position before the Lord, before God, you find yourself grateful. You find yourself in a posture of worship.
Mm-hmm.
You really do. If you can,
mm-hmm.
if you meditate on that, if you're always, like you're saying, looking to Jesus, then it doesn't make you want to go and trample mm-hmm. over His righteousness by sinning more.
I think Josh Harris said, at the end of the day, you find yourself with your head in your hands, you know, just thanking the Lord for the tremendous work that He has accomplished on our behalf, you know. And then, like I said, dedicating our life, we got to be constantly bringing the gospel to bear on every single
yes.
issue in our life. Let's bring it home to our discussion
yes.
here today with adoption. He has adopted us. There was nothing lovely in us that made us desirable for God to adopt us. There was no longing in His part, on His part, or lacking on His part that He needed fellowship with man or anything like that. He was in complete and total bliss in and of Himself. And yet, out of His infinite mercy and grace, He not only creates us, but saves our never-dying souls, draws us to Himself. That should fuel our interest in this adoption that we're talking about,
Absolutely.
Shouldn't it?
The adoption is something that I grew up in. I grew up in a church. I'm a pastor's son, the PK. I saw everything in this church, a pretty large church, and adoption literally never occurred to me. Nowadays, I think you see the believers in Christian love, oh, we're pro-life. That's the big thing, the stickers in every car, whatever, and we're so pro-life, but the orphanages are full all over the world. And how can we say that we're pro-life when we're not sacrificing, taking this in and adopting kids? And for me and my wife, there's no doubt, we have four kids of our own, and there's no doubt, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that we have been called to adopt. It is something that we hear, and it's funny, I don't even know how to say this, but when you see these families and churches out there, and they have all these kids they've adopted from all over the world with all these different needs, and you see them like, wow, man, can't believe that's radical there. I could do that. And you have these families that are there. That's not for me. You know what? They couldn't have kids. They're in the perfect situation, whatever. But I truly believe as Christians, we're called to sacrifice. We don't have to have the perfect situation to adopt a child and go, well, that's not me. But you know what? I know this couple. I think maybe they might want to do this. Oh, you know, this other couple. I'll help raise awareness. You know, that's bogus. I mean, these kids are hurting, and I think maybe it's because we're so in tune to Christians to go, oh, we're going to go on mission trips because it's going to help me. Well, I want to grow in Christ. I'm going on a mission trip. That's bogus. We're called to these people, and the least of these kids that have had these awful situations, and they're sitting in an orphanage with 90-something other kids, we're called to them and to pull them out. And that's, you know, like you said, that's part of the gospel and living the gospel. And it's something I'm absolutely passionate about.
Derek, you want to add to that?
The end.
I was just going to say, you know, that as much as we concern ourselves, the reason this conversation is completely relevant for us is because as much as we concern ourselves with the evangelism, the spreading of the good news, whatever it is, we so often mistake, the reason I'm so glad we're here, that we're so, you know, that we're having these conversations, that people are hopefully listening to this, is because we so often mistake the sharing of the good news. Like, what is it exactly? What is evangelizing? What is the good news we're sharing? We mistake it for being only the salvation of individual men and women, that is the redemptive story. But that is such a small part of a redemptive story. And it's no wonder, like you said, we said before, we're trying to make everything about us. So it's clearly about our benefit spiritually, and Jesus came for us. The good news that we are to be spreading in word and deed on this earth is the kingdom coming where all things will be made right. That including the salvation of individual men and women, but all things being made right. And how do you proclaim that kingdom into this culture? Well, you see people who are hungry, you proclaim to them a kingdom coming where there's no hunger by putting food in their mouths. You see people who are hurting from disease, you proclaim to them a kingdom coming where there will be no more disease by caring for their lives. I mean, this is the way that we literally proclaim the gospel to people. And this is the gospel that we have. It's this kingdom coming. We're to put our hands to the being made right of all things. And so it's like, so I know it's really hot right now. It's a really, you know, big buzz to talk about kind of the spiritual aspects of justice and the social outworkings of that justice and how, you know, that's such a big hotbed, whatever, right now.
Right.
The thing is, that's not even the other side of the coin of the gospel. That literally is the context of the gospel itself. That is the gospel. And I'm not trying to be liberal and overstate to say, well, if we just care for people's physical needs, then we don't have to preach to them. We do both. We do all of it. I mean, we're to concern ourselves with the salvation of individuals and the literal coming to bear of the being made right of all things into our world today. Put our hands to it, pray that day into today. You know, that is the day we long for. That's the hope we have in even doing any of this work, because we know that there's a day coming when it all will be made right, when all of these children will have a father, when all the tears will be wiped away, there'll be no more hunger or poverty or thirst. This is the thing that motivates us.
Right.
And so if you're like, well, yeah, but I just want to talk about Jesus. Tell the gospel to people, and other people can do that social work, and that's liberal. And you don't understand. I mean, this is literally the gospel we've come to proclaim. And if we really can, if we care about, I mean, Jesus gives us no room to budge on this, because when asked what are the most important things we're commanded to do, point blank, he said, love God, love your neighbor. That is the context for every other command we keep. You know, so even if we're debating theology with a friend, if at any point we're failing to love that person as our neighbor, then we need to repent of even our great pursuit of theology, because we're using it as something to belittle our, you know, our friends. I mean, like, we have to have the context of ultimately loving God and our neighbors. Mm-hmm. And when we have 17 million of our neighbors, our youngest and most helpless and, you know, needful
right.
neighbors suffering, and, you know, it's like, is it really mysterious what God's will for your life is? Mm-hmm. Are we still spending $15 in our local Christian bookstore for 8 steps on what is God's will for my life? is it really such a mystery?
No, there's a new one. It's 10 steps now.
10 steps now. Okay. You know, the 4 steps book is actually the one that's really big because it's shorter.
Sure.
They can sell it for $5.
It's pamphlet.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, is it so mysterious? I mean, like, listen to what's happening with the need of orphans all around the world, and look at the words of Jesus: love God, love your neighbor.
Yeah.
Is it not so clear, the work of following Jesus? Is it so mysterious?
I think people are afraid of that. You know, they, in the Christian circles, you know, you just talked about social justice, and right away they think liberal. Mm-hmm. And they think, like you were saying, that the gospel is going to be gutted, and, you know, you're just talking about, you know, we're going to go and do all sorts of nice social things, you know, kind of just do-gooders around mm-hmm. the world. But we're not talking about that at all. We're talking about that this is a portion of the gospel. This is a natural outworking of the gospel. Living out loud, to use another singer's phrase there, but living this out. And Jesus said, you know, like you articulated, the two greatest commandments, loving God. We love him because he first loved us.
Right.
So the first thing when he loves us is he enables us to love him back, but then also he enables us to love others that are around us. And those three parts must be there. You can't, good works must follow. If there aren't good works following, then you've got a faulty faith, because faith alone saves, Calvin said, but a faith that saves is never alone.
That's
it
right.
can't be alone. If it's alone, you've got a faulty faith and you never did get
and
saved.
And Jesus clearly cared both for the physical and the spiritual. It was holistic. He would not only save people, but he would heal people. He'd forgive them of their sin, and they knew to heal them. I mean, and we too, like him, are called to care not only for the spiritual needs of the people around us, but the physical needs as well. And some people would say, well, there's a time to, you know, there's that whole thing about, you know, there's a time to teach a man to fish, and there's a time to give him a fish, and that whole thing. And I understand self-sufficiency. I understand all that.
Sure.
But at the rate that some of our neighbors in Africa are dying right now, when you have, like, in sub-Saharan Africa alone, the Twin Towers fall 2.5 times every day.
Mm.
It's nearly 8,000 between AIDS and malaria. It's literally, you know, almost 8,000 people every day that die.
Mm.
I mean, this is the moment, you know, from the time you start your gospel presentation, if it's only the 4 spiritual laws, and the time you finish, the person has expired.
Mm.
So this is a moment that we must go. And as Christians, if no one else, it's not our government's job. The government should have to get in line behind us to go and to care for and care for the lives of these people. And I mean, because we have a greater context to do it than anything else, because we know there's a day coming when ultimately this will not be happening anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And we want that day to come today.
Amen.
So we're going to go today. We're going to care for both their spiritual lives and their physical lives. We're going to teach them to be self-sufficient so that we defend their dignity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a holistic approach to this that Jesus clearly lines out that we can ignore if we'd like,
mm-hmm.
or we can truly follow Jesus, which is not necessarily your garden variety subcultural Christianity, unfortunately.
That's true. Certainly not to what we find in modern Christianity today. But praise the Lord. We hope that the Spirit of God is going to change
right.
that. Unfortunately, gentlemen, we could go on for days on this subject, I'm sure.
It's an utter butter. We'll have a lock-in.
That's right. Let's do it. But
we're talking about adoption and stuff up here, and we have experts next to us somehow, Derek and I are.
Well,
we
gave them the opportunity in the beginning. Let me give the information about the concert again here tonight. You need to be at this concert. I mean, here's a great place to start. Come to the concert tonight. Hear what these guys have to say. I'm sure in the song you'll hear this, but also in between the songs. That concert will be held tonight at Southside Fellowship right here in Greenville, South Carolina, 7 o'clock. You can find out all the information out on this website, which is www.CarolinaHopeAdoption.org. That's www.CarolinaHopeAdoption.org. You can always go out to the CallingForTruth.org website as well, and I've got links there to Carolina Adoption, Derek website, Cade McCall's site. All the links are out there for you on that website. Thanks for joining us again for another edition of Calling for Truth. Remember, Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and it shall make you free."
Thanks again for tuning in to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. To contact us for more information about our ministry, the resources that we have to offer,
or to make a tax-deductible donation to our ministry, call 864-420-2688 or visit us online at callingfortruth.org. Calling for Truth is an outreach ministry of Providence Baptist Church and Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship. If you have enjoyed today's program, be sure to join us each weekday at 1 o'clock for Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660 WLFJ, Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.